You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans, and welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Sampaio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. With me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, hopefully your intro to the people today is better than mine.
Well, I like to think, I messed up too. I did that on purpose to make you feel better. Vince, how are you?
Thanks. I'm good. How about you?
I am good.
Yeah, so pitchers and catchers reported the day we're recording right now. It'll be the second day when you guys are listening. It's an exciting time to be a Dodger fan in general, but exciting time to be a baseball fan as well. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the second half of the show. First half of the show, we do have to address the Houston Astros one more time, hopefully the last time for us, because we want to celebrate the fact that pitchers and catchers reported in baseball season is upon us, and we're going to touch a little bit on the Mookie Betts and David Price press conference as well. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, a little house cleaning. Pedro Baez won his arbitration case against the Dodgers. Will make, $4 million? And the only player to win arbitration case so far this year. So congrats to Pedro Baez and his team. Jeff, got any thoughts on that real quick?
No, I'm happy for Pedro. In general, my thoughts on arbitration is usually whatever happens is what probably should have happened. And so I'm happy for him.
Okay, so hopefully this will be our last time talking about it. Then we can focus on 2020 now. But the Houston Astros did, some of their players did report to their spring training in Florida. And the long-awaited statement or whatever they had prepared was finally unveiled. It was fumbled a little bit in the beginning, maybe slightly redeemed by a couple players. But Jeff, let's just end it all right here with what your overall impression was of the Astros.
Yeah, definitely the conversations with players in the locker room yielded a little bit more value than the actual staged press conference that just was awful and worthless. It was a stark reminder that it took them a full month to come up with that garbage that they said. Jim Crane appeared to be, I don't even know how to describe Jim Crane, definitely kind of politician speak, where there's actual video of him saying exact words and then 55 seconds later saying the words I did not say and then the exact words that he just said. Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman both stood on a stool to reach the microphone and made their quote-unquote apologies that were basically worthless. Alex Bregman used a bunch of the passive voice, which is always a good sign of insincerity. I'm sorry for the actions that were taken. Actions weren't taken. You took actions, dummy. Passive voice is always a way to try to shift the blame, forget who the subject of that sentence is. I'm sorry that I cheated would have been an actual apology. I'm sorry for the actions that were taken is not. And so, but we knew it wouldn't be. We knew they weren't going to actually say anything that would satisfy us. And so, like you said, hopefully this is the last time we'll talk about it, because the fact is, like we said the other day, the Astros are never going to say anything that's going to satisfy us, because partly because they're not actually sorry. And it's hard to sincerely apologize when you're not actually sorry, but also partly because their teams of agents and lawyers wouldn't actually let them come out and say what would satisfy us, even if they wanted to, because that would be we didn't deserve to win the World Series. I'm going to give my bonus to charity and a lot of those things that obviously they're never going to say. So there isn't much point in parsing every little statement that they make other than to say that press conference was about the level of BS that we expected it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That, like I said, the press conference was bad. Jim Crane was the worst one of all. Alex Bregman's statement, he just looked very awkward up there because, I mean, you know, he's not sorry. Jose Altuve, kind of the same thing. He's kind of fallen off a lot of pedestals for a lot of people that are fans. Carlos Correa was pretty good. Justin Verlander was not. Justin Verlander acted like he had no idea what questions were coming, and he had no idea that he was going to have to talk about this and seemed annoyed at it. That's your fault. You didn't say anything at the time. Now you got to deal with it. We won't even address Josh Reddick, and George Springer was okay too. But yeah, like I said, time to maybe hopefully officially move all past this. They gave us a lot to talk about, but the 2020 season is officially here now. Pitchers and catchers reported. So by Astros, we'll, you know, see them getting booed and mercilessly harassed all season, and maybe, who knows, get into a couple beanball things, but other than that, the Dodgers don't play them this year. The only time they would be in a World Series. So,
yeah, I'm ready to go back to my state of being between about the early 90s and 2017, and then again from 2018 until a couple months ago, which is barely aware that the Astros exist. So that is the state of mind I'm going back to.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the Dodgers now. David Price and Mookie Betts had their introductory press conference. We were going to talk about it on yesterday's show, but we didn't get to do the show together, so we saved it for a little bit today. Overall, not maybe a little underwhelming in the sense that there wasn't too much said. Mookie didn't seem to be a man of many words. I'm not sure if that's how he, I'm sure that's how he is normally. David Price looked happy and had a little bit more to say, but you know, that's, at the end of the day, they're both Dodgers. They're both here for 2020. Jeff, anything stood out for me from that press conference?
Not really. It was pretty uneventful as far as those news conferences go. It was a happy time, obviously. But you could definitely sense, like, I don't know about you, I always hated the first day of school, even if it was a school I'd been at for years. And, you know, I knew all the teachers I was going to have, knew all my friends. Just going back to school was hard for me. And it was even worse if it was going to a new school. And that's kind of the feeling I got from Mookie Betts. It's like, okay, well, I'm excited. I get to play baseball, but there is that little unknown thing that maybe makes it harder to be 100% totally thrilled. But, you know, that'll come. I don't expect him to walk in the door and say, I love LA. Let's sign an extension right now. But I think, you know, getting into spring training, he reported early, even though he didn't have to, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit more. Getting in there with his new teammates and then actually getting to LA when the season starts, you know, opening day in LA, I think is going to be crazy and awesome. I think, between the renovations to the stadium and just opening day with the excitement that is coming partly because the Dodgers got Betts, I think it's going to be a crazy atmosphere that will be really exciting for him. And I think that's when he'll really start to feel like a Dodger, and I expect to see lots of smiles this year.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I mean, this Dodgers locker room and clubhouse has seen a lot of players come the last few years. And, you know, David Freese stuck around for next year just because he wanted to. Chase Utley stuck around. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, even like guys like Jock Peterson and Ross Stripling, who were going to be traded, but they haven't really made a big stink because, you know, even though they could be playing their bigger roles elsewhere. So he'll be just fine. Like I said, overall, a little underwhelming. But the biggest part for me was just the smile on Andrew Friedman's face the entire day was just, you know, I don't think he feels – he might feel a little vindicated, but I think just the fact that he got a guy, you know, they got the guy under their terms, and, you know, they're ready to go. And like I said, this might be their most talented team, and that was one of the quotes he said. So overall exciting. But the actual press conference, not as exciting. But
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. Cool. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about all the happenings from the first day of pitchers and catchers reporting, And a lot of players also reporting and any notes that Dave Roberts had. But before we get into that, speaking of spring training, let's talk about Arizona. Arizona is where the Dodgers have spring training, where a lot of the players are right now, where maybe some of you might be these coming weeks. And if you're not, let me tell you why you should be. Arizona, first and foremost, pretty close to LA. It's a, you know, it's a not too bad of a flight, but also not too bad of a drive if you prefer to drive and maybe save a little money. The weather is great. It'll be kind of like LA weather, but probably a little warmer, and you know, nice sunny days with some baseball. Like we said, there's 15 teams, there's 10 stadiums, they're all relatively close. So if you're not, if you're more than just a Dodger fan, you're a baseball fan, it's great to go out there and kind of see that. If you know, you want to go out there and get some rest and relaxation as well, there's a lot of stuff too. There's most hotels have pools, there's other stuff, there's malls and there's shopping centers and there's breweries and restaurants and nightlife. And if you want to go get some hiking in, you can do that. If you want to, what they have, hot air balloons out there, the Grand Canyon's close. Pretty much anything you would need to do is all right there. Plus you get the fact that there's baseball there and a more interactive style of baseball if you get there early enough on the backfield. So if you want to start planning your trip to Arizona, go to visitarizona.com/springtraining and see all Arizona has to offer, and stay Locked On Dodgers. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you may not know that Locked On Dodgers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Dodgers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Dodgers fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Again, that's advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, so let's get into this obscure former Dodger. I was going to try to find a player. I looked at the Astros roster right now, but they don't have any former Dodgers. Well, other than Zach Greinke, but he's not obscure. So then I went to David Price is wearing number 33. So I went to look at players that have worn number 33 with the Dodgers. And it's kind of like Mookie's number 50, where there's a lot of players, some obscure, maybe some not so obscure. And a lot of guys we've already done already. There's Scott Van Slyke, who's probably not too obscure, but and Bobby Abreu, who we've done. Juan Rivera, we've done. Juan Castro, we've done. I think Blake DeWitt, we've done. David Wells. So I went down to 2006, Ramon Martinez. I don't think we've done him. He was a Dodger in 2006. He played on a few teams in his career, the A's, Padres, Orioles, Reds. And actually his last year, or he came back to the, oh wait, no, 2013, not 2006. 2013 with the Dodgers. Yeah, he was 37 years old. He didn't do very well. I don't really remember too much of his time on the Dodgers, actually. But
wait, who are we talking about?
Ramon Hernandez. I said Ramon Martinez.
Oh, I'm like, the Dodgers have had two Ramon Martinez's play for him.
Maybe Ramon Martinez was also one of them. Okay, Ramon Martinez was also one of them. That's who I was thinking of. 2006. We'll have to obscure that. Ramon Hernandez, Ramon Martinez, both were number 33. Both played the Dodgers. Both were obscure. And both didn't really leave an impression on me. I don't know about you.
No, Ramon Martinez? No. Yes. The other Ramon Martinez left quite an impression on me. The one who's Pedro's brother.
Yeah.
But no, this Ramon Martinez, he means nothing to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a botched segment, but we got two obscure Dodgers out of it. So let's move on. Clearly, I'm excited to talk about pitchers and catchers reporting. The official kickoff of Dodgers season, and kind of similar to the last few years, almost seemed like the whole team kind of showed up early and is all reported today. Alana Rizzo had her yearly Instagram stories of who's coming in. You know, we saw Beatty, we saw Turner, we saw Seager, we saw Jock, We saw Mookie Betts. We saw a position player, Max Muncy. Pretty much all the main position players I'm pretty sure we saw were already there. So that's always a good thing to see. And, yeah, well, among those is Mookie Betts, Jeff. And, you know, he has a lot to do, probably a lot going on, but he still wanted to report early with everyone else. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the main things Mookie mentioned in the press conference the other day was that he had found a place to stay in Arizona, but hadn't yet found a place to live in LA, and that was high on their list of things to do. So the fact that the next day he was still reporting early to spring training says a lot about his desire to get ingrained with the team. Probably says a lot about his wife, to be honest, because probably a lot of that work is falling on her shoulders. And so, you know, definitely deserves some recognition there too. But you know, that everything we've heard about Mookie Betts, we've only seen him from afar for the most part. But everything we've heard about him is what a great person he is, what a great teammate he is. There's the story, David Vasse asked him about it a little bit, that went around after game two of the World Series in 2018. Mookie had a bunch of family over for a meal afterwards. And so by the time they got done eating, it was after midnight. And Mookie, they had a bunch of leftovers, and he just remembered noticing that he had seen some homeless people nearby on their way in. And he's like, well, we don't need these leftovers. They could use them. So they went down and they fed homeless people at 1 a.m. After a World Series game. And at the time, Mookie was kind of upset that the media found out about it, because he didn't want it to be, didn't want it to look like it was just a photo op, that it was actually, he just wanted to do some good in the world. And so, you know, obviously that doesn't really relate to him showing up to spring training early, but it kind of talks about the kind of person he is. And so it's not surprising that he would want to, you know, get to know Camelback Ranch, you know, get to know his teammates, his manager, all those things, just get there as soon as possible. Since he didn't have much time in the offseason, you know, a lot of times you guys get traded or sign as free agents, it's in November or December. And so they have a couple months to text with their new teammates and call them and, you know, talk on the phone and see him here and there. And it's kind of a compressed time frame for him. So it's not surprising that he wants to do that, but it still says a lot about him with all that's on his plate, that about his desire to be a Dodger and to be a baseball player.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And not too much went on the first day in terms of, you know, tidbits. We got, Dave Roberts said that there'll be 8 or 9 guys trying out for, or being, trying out for the starting rotation, which I touched on yesterday's show, kind of my thoughts on that. And I would assume, you know, you share similar, nobody's really going to throw too much. Everyone's going to kind of work in and out. But you got anything to add on that before we get on to the other stuff?
No, I was maybe a little surprised when I first kind of heard that Julio for sure seems to have a rotation spot locked up. I would have thought that Wood would be more likely to have one locked up. But it's just I guess it's a different approach. It's you know, if they've decided, I mean, Julio, he's been up in the big leagues for, this will be what, his 4th or 5th year, parts of him, you know, there was injuries and stuff. So it's not just, you know, uninterrupted time. But I think they've decided, yeah, the time is now to see what Julio can do as a starter. And so I think that's awesome. I do think Wood will end up being the 5th starter, and the young guys will, like you said the other day, will be rotating in and out of the rotation, whether it's injuries or just taking time off or missing a start here and there. I think obviously everybody's going to get their chances to start. But I thought that was interesting that they are as close to having that set as they are.
Another thing that Dave Roberts touched on, new acquisition, Brusdar Graterol, was actually sent home with a fever. But Dave Roberts talked about how they are going to, they're happy to have him as a reliever, and that his medicals seem okay, that he sees him in the bullpen, and that they'll manage his workload throughout the spring and see how he rebounds to innings, multiple days, etc. They have time for that. So it's, you know, I think it's good for the Dodgers to set that precedent early that he's going to be a reliever, not have to move him around, not have to worry about anything else. And they can kind of, like I said, plan for that and, you know, throw them back-to-back days, throw them, you know, multiple innings, see what they can get out of them and see what they got in order to better utilize him throughout the season. With the caveat that hopefully Dave Roberts also learned how to better use his relievers throughout the season and postseason.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. It's, I guess only time will tell on that. Hopefully the bullpen will be good enough throughout the season that come October, Dave Roberts will be used to trusting them. But yeah, I'm excited for Gratterall. I'm glad that they sent him home. It was a few years ago that they had just this bug that just ripped through the spring training locker room. Seemed like, I know Corey Seager got it really bad. Several guys, I feel like it was 10 or 15 guys got sick over the course of a couple weeks. So good idea to get anybody who's showing any signs of anything, send him home and say, come back when you're feeling better, especially for a guy like Gratterall, who doesn't need to be built up to be a starter. You know, if he missed the first week of spring training or 2 weeks, even, he'd be fine. You know, they could get him built up to enough to go an inning or two. But yeah, I think it's good that his role is set. The Dodgers obviously were happy enough to trade for him, even knowing he's going to be a reliever. And I think that's all good stuff.
Yep. And maybe the biggest part that came out of Thursday was that Dave Roberts said that Jock Peterson would play in left field against right-handers, sharing time with AJ Pollock, which effectively puts a platoon out there in left field, which I'm completely fine with. We talked about it the other day. Also, from the day before, Dave Roberts said he spoke with Jock Peterson, who, you know, lost the arbitration case, was supposed to get traded to the Angels, didn't end up happening. Roberts said that Peterson absolutely wants to remain with the team, that he's invested a lot of time and energy into this organization on the field and the community. He understands the landscape of what happened and his job as a player, that things potentially like that could happen. But ultimately, he's thrilled to be with us, which you got to imagine is true in a sense, and maybe not true in some other senses. But like I said, we talked about it the other day. I'm excited to have Jock out there. That lineup against right-handers just gets that much better with Jock still on the team and in the lineup. And AJ Pollock, you know, maybe he'll still get a chance to be an everyday guy if there's injuries or maybe Jock does ultimately get traded. But for now, it seems like he'll be the lower part of the platoon. So, Jeff, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, Dave Roberts' job is obviously to put a positive spin on whatever Jock actually said. And so I don't know how seriously I would take what Robert said, but I think it's probably basically true. Jock does have a relationship with these players. You know, he has a relationship with the team, a relationship with the community. And so, I do think he would have been sad to be traded, and he probably is happy to be there. I've said it before. I don't think the arbitration thing is going to weigh on him too much because that's a business thing. The Dodgers sent, you know, I don't know for sure if it was the Dodgers who sent third party counsel to argue their case or if it was somebody assigned by MLB. Kind of gotten mixed signals on that. But either way, Andrew Friedman wasn't in the room saying Jock sucks and we're only going to pay him this much. And so there is that kind of that level of separation there. I'm excited to have Jock. I still don't totally believe that they actually will run AJ Pollock out there as a platoon guy who only gets, you know, a third of the starts, which is what the right-handed half of an outfield platoon is. And so I still kind of think something else is coming, whether that's a trade of Jock or a trade of Pollock or something. But if they did go into the season with the platoon of Pollock and Peterson, that's maybe the best left fielder in baseball when you combine Jock's numbers against righties and Pollock's numbers against lefties. So I could get on board with that since they already have the best center fielder and the best right fielder, or second best center fielder, I guess, since Mike Trout still exists. But yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible that they, you know, still trade Jock. We thought it was more possible the other day, then I'm losing that thought a little bit more. Kind of relating to that, Andrew Friedman was on MLB Network Radio earlier in the week talking about all the trades and how it put them to put the Dodgers over the luxury tax threshold. And this is his exact quote: "We are well over, with no CBT gymnastics in sight that will get us under. I was joking with Stan Kasten the other day. He made some public comments that he expected us to be over, and I wanted to deliver on that. We definitely did." That seems like they will keep Jock Peterson and the other guys that are on the roster, at least for now. But, yeah, we – I mean, you've long been on the train that the Dodgers didn't really – you know, they were under the luxury tax, but it wasn't a mandate, just more of a circumstance if it wasn't anything worth it to go over for. Now they're over, and they were seemingly maybe only be able to get under a couple times in the next – couple years before, if they pay Mookie and then they end up paying other guys, they'll probably be over for a while after that. But hopefully that comes with some championships and they won't have to worry about it. Not that they should worry about it anyways, they got the money.
Yeah, I don't see what Friedman said actually having much impact on whether or not Jock gets traded, because I think they're going to be, as of right now, like 12 or 13 million over. So even if they traded Jock and 7 million, you know, they'd take back something in return for him, probably on the major league salary side. So, you know, you think best case scenario from a financial standpoint, they might save $5 million if they traded Jock. And so even that wouldn't get them under. So I don't think they're any less likely to trade him based on what Friedman said. But yeah, I think it's great that they are doing what they should be doing, which is spending money on the guys who are worth spending money on. I don't believe in spending money just to spend money. I said it before, I don't actually care what the Dodgers payroll is, because, you know, if they put out a great team that has a chance to win the World Series every year and they can do it spending $60 million on salary, I'm fine with that. Not that I'm rooting for the owners to pocket as much money as possible, but as a fan, what I care about is the Dodgers being a good baseball team. And the Dodgers have consistently put out a really good baseball team for the last many years. And this year, like Friedman said, and like we agree with, probably might be the best team they've done yet. And the fact that they had to go over the luxury tax to do it doesn't make me feel good or bad. Just my expectation as a fan is give me a winning team, and that's what they're doing again. And this year, that happens to mean being over the luxury tax.
Yep. So that'll do it from news and notes from spring training so far. More stuff will be coming out in the coming days, so we'll have a lot more to talk about now that it'll be our first spring training doing this daily podcast, so that'll be another exciting thing to do. One last note, Kenta Maeda and Alex Verdugo both said their goodbyes on Instagram, both a lot of heartfelt words. Maeda, we already got a first look at him in Twins gear, still a little adjusting for that. But the one part I want to point out in Doogie's Instagram goodbye is he said, "I want to thank Doc for letting me be me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it." And then he added at the end, "Thank you all for making it so easy for me to be myself and to play and express the pure love and joy I have for this game every day. And then please know from the bottom of my heart, you'll always be a part of mine." So, you know, I think that stood out to me a little bit. We've heard things, a lot of different things about Alex Verdugo in the past and even now, so in the last couple weeks. But at the end of the day, like I said, he's just a guy that enjoys to play baseball, what it seems like, on the field. And the Dodgers let him express himself like that. And we saw a lot of talk about it last year when he kind of had the early on success. And, you know, even guys like Kershaw and everyone else is like, yeah, we're just, you know, we let guys be how they are as long as they're putting in the work and producing. So that's that was nice little thing to see about that.
Yeah, and obviously it's easier to let him be him when he is playing well, which he was when he was healthy. He played well, and so yeah, you want to be silly and dance in the dugout and, you know, mess with the team's Twitter account runner and all that stuff, great, as long as you're playing well, you know. But yeah, I'm gonna miss Doogie's personality. I think the Dodgers still have plenty of personality in the dugout and the clubhouse. But, you know, Doogie, he was something special. I hope he does well in Boston. We did see a report that it looks like he might not be ready to play on opening day because of his back issues, which kind of made me chuckle that the guy who the Astros or the Red Sox canceled the trade over isn't the guy who's not going to be ready for opening day. But I hope Doogie gets better soon and plays really, really well because I like that dude.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for today's show. That'll do it for this week of Locked On Dodgers. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all. We've gotten a lot more, love and support and feedback from you guys the last few weeks. So thank you for that. Keep on doing that. Keep us letting us know what you guys want to hear about or what you guys want us to talk about or stuff like that or things you see. We got an article sent to us earlier today, by a fan. So, anything you guys come across that, might be interesting to us, we'll always take that. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. And Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-5625. That's 323-863-LOCK. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. If you like the show, please show us, download, listen, rate, review, all that stuff. Do all that stuff on iTunes if you have it available, even if you don't use it, just to help us out. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bomb Zoom!